Let us turn to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 18. When the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" That is a very common question that all people either ask or want to know wherever they are. Who is the greatest person here? We find that in the world, we find it in politics, everybody is competing to be a minister or a chief minister or a prime minister or whatever it is, always wanting to go to the top, who is the greatest in every sphere, whether it's the military or politics or businessmen, they want to be the richest businessman in the world. Always there is a competition to be the greatest. And unfortunately, in almost every Christian church, it is the same. There are people who desire to be the greatest. And despite all that we have preached in CFC, I find that in many people in CFC to be known as important, longing to become elders. I've often said first qualification to be an elder is you have no desire to be an elder. And when they are removed from eldership, they are offended. And many just leave. It's all because of this innate desire to be the greatest. And even people who pretend that they are not offended when they are removed from eldership, inside the desire is still there to be the greatest. Now to be known as the greatest person who is not offended. This desire to be the greatest in some way or the other is there in us, and unless it is crucified, it will hinder our spiritual growth. If we are not seeking to be greatest in position, then we want to be known as the greatest to humble ourselves, or the greatest in humility, or the greatest. It's always this desire to be the greatest. Whatever is valued in a church, if it is speaking in tongues that's valued in a church, then they want to be known as the greatest in speaking in tongues. If it is preaching, then the greatest in preaching. If it is humility, then they want to be known as the greatest in humility. Whatever it is. But who is the greatest is a question that comes in the hearts of all children of Adam. And these different examples I give you are the very subtle ways in which it can come to anybody sitting here if you're not watchful. And pride is most dangerous. Pride is most dangerous when it wears the garments of humility. Remember that. When it wears the garments of pride, it's easily observable by everybody. Like in a politician or a businessman, the arrogance. But when pride is clothed in humility, the garments of humility, that is the danger that many in CFC face. And that's why Jesus said, you got to learn from a little child. Unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And what do we see about, he said in verse 4, whoever then humbles himself, not just humbles himself, but humbles himself as this child, it means a little baby, he is the greatest in God's kingdom. So what is the main characteristic in a little child? It's humility. It is a complete lack of pretending. It's not pretending to be humble. I've seen many, many brothers and sisters in CFC who pretend to be humble. That's arrogance and pride. Most people can't detect it, but I can see through it straight away. And God can see through it much more. The thing about a child is, remember, it's not just humble. It does not pretend to be humble. Because you can get a reputation for pretending to be humble, pretending not to be offended. It's all pride, arrogance. So it's not easy to be like a child, I'll tell you that. You really need the help of the Holy Spirit. You try to do it yourself, it's like trying to be holy yourself. You struggle and determine to be holy. It'll be a counterfeit. It'll be the holiness of non-Christian religions, which doesn't get rid of filth in the heart. Jesus said genuine humility can be found only in a child. And for that we must meditate on what is passing through. This is what I've done for many, many years. What is it that's passing through the mind of a child? I want my mind to be like that. Not just the external appearance. Because humility is inward. It's a question of what you think of yourself. The Bible speaks of lowliness of mind. That means it is in the mind that humility must be present. What I think of myself and what I think of others. It's not just thinking I'm smaller than others, forcing myself to think I'm not so good. That's stupidity. Because Jesus said, learn humility from me. And do you think Jesus was always thinking, I'm not so good, I'm not capable, I can't preach? That's nonsense. That is pride. To go around saying, I'm not so good, I can't preach, that is pride. People think it is humility. There's a lot of counterfeit humility. In Jesus, there was a complete absence of that. He never thought, I'm no good, I can't preach. He preached better than anybody else in the world. You know what he also said? He said, I am humble of heart. Would you dare to say that? Say, no, 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 if I say that, I'll be proud. The humblest man on earth said it. Jesus said, learn from me, for I am humble of heart. Genuine humility. The most humble man that walked on the earth could say about himself, I am humble. Because he was not trying to get a reputation for humility. If you go around saying, I am humble, you'll say, oh, I'll lose my reputation. Because in the back of my mind is, what is my reputation if I say that I am humble? You see how conceited we are even in our pursuit of humility. There are only two people from whom we can learn humility. From Jesus Christ, he said, learn from me. And the other is from a little child. So I asked myself, what was going through in the mind of Jesus? Was he always saying, I'm no good, I'm such a sinner, I can't do anything? No, that was never. He said, I can do everything. Yet he was the humblest man who walked on the earth. He wasn't timid in the way he spoke and shy and the head hanging down. Never. He was bold. He was humble when he whipped the money changers out of the temple. I'm saying all this because I have seen in a lot of CFC people a false humility, which is a counterfeit. And the reason is they are not learning from Jesus. They're not learning from little children. They've got their own concepts of how to appear humble before others. It's an acting. If I try to pretend to be humble before others, like a man pretending to be a woman. As soon as he speaks, you'll know it's not a woman. That's how it is. It's as crazy as a man trying to be a woman, putting on a woman's clothes. But he's speaking like a man. And that's how it is when a man pretends to be humble. Keep this picture in your mind. When you're pretending to be humble, you're like a man dressing up like a woman. But as soon as you speak, everybody knows, or someone with discernment knows, this guy's not humble. He's just pretending. A lot of people, there's a lot of pretense of humility from the pulpit, from song leaders, from preachers, who try to act humble. It's all humbug and nonsense. And if you remain like that year after year after year, something's wrong. We are not learning from children. We're not learning from Jesus. So it's a wonderful thing when we have children to say, Lord, I want to learn from this little baby what humility is. Because you said that I have to be humble like this child. I don't see Jesus. When he was on earth, I could have watched him carefully. Now I can only imagine what he's like. But I do see a little child. So I have before me a living example of humility that I can learn from. And I want to encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters, let's all of us pursue this. To look at a little child and say, that is genuine humility. or is not even aware that it is humble. There's no child who thinks, I'm quite humble. People don't think I'm proud. See, the moment such thoughts go through my mind, people don't think I'm proud. You're not like a child. No. You're very aware of your humility. You see, that's how subtle it is. And the proudest people are the ones who put on the garb of humility. So beware of that. Let's learn from children. The main thing about the child is there's no artificiality. It's just natural. It's like that way all the time. See, an artificial humility is something that we put on in front of people we want to impress. In a church, for example. But we won't be like that in our place of work. Because there we don't have to pretend to be humble. There are no Christians there to admire us. But in the church, we want to act humble and talk humble. That is hypocrisy. And we'd be surprised. You may think you're not a hypocrite. You'd be surprised to see how much hypocrisy there is in you. And if you ask God to show it to you, He'll show it to you. See, God never shows anything to anyone unless He's desperate to know. If you go to God desperately and say, Lord, show me the pride in me. Show me the acting in me. Show me the hypocrisy. Show me the false humility. He'll show it to you. But if you're casual, you'll never find it. You'll remain in the same condition forever. Jesus, the Lord says, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. And I fear that many are not seeking God with all their heart to learn how Jesus was humble or how a child is humble. And that's why we remain completely ignorant of the pride in our artificial humility. So that's one good thing we can remember. And one more thing I want to say is, we have to be careful what sort of example we are to little children. It says in verse 5, if you receive a child, you're receiving me. You cannot receive Jesus into your house today, he's in heaven. But if you receive a child, not just receive a child, you receive a child, it says in verse 5, in Jesus' name. It is our responsibility as parents to receive every single child God has given you in Jesus' name. That means you don't despise any of them. You don't show favoritism to one over the other. Some show faith, some who have daughters will show favoritism to the sons. And if some who have many sons, their one daughter, they show favoritism to that daughter. They're not receiving a child in Jesus' name. They're receiving children just like any godless worldly person receives children. And I'm sorry to say that's how many Christians receive their children. If you're truly a godly parent, there'll be zero partiality in you towards all your children. Sons, daughters, intelligent ones, stupid ones, doesn't make a difference. All will be the same because God gave you all of them. And you receive every child in Jesus' name. God doesn't tell us how many children you should have. But if you do have a child, whether it's 1 or 10, you receive them in Jesus' name. Everyone, boy, girl, intelligent, not intelligent, retarded, doesn't make a difference. You receive that child in Jesus' name and say, that is like Jesus coming into my house. And you will treat every one of that children like Jesus. That's what it means. And if you do that, you'll have Jesus living in your house. People wonder, how can I have Jesus living in my house? I'll tell you one simple way. First step, receive every child God has given you in Jesus' name. That doesn't mean you don't have to discipline them. That is not Jesus himself. He doesn't say that that is Jesus. That's a child. But I receive that child in Jesus' name. And therefore I want to train that child to bring him up to serve God and to fear God and to live for him. And so I have to discipline. I've got to love him, correct him, lead him right, or lead her. All right, that's important. And then it says in verse 6, be careful that you don't cause any of them to stumble. That means something they see in your life will cause them to stumble. What are the things that can cause a child to stumble? What they see in your home. Not that this is a small house with only one bedroom. That will never cause any child to stumble. You can teach that child that having a big house and wealth and is not the most important thing. What are the things that cause a child to stumble? It is the behavior of its parents. The way they behave with each other and the way they behave towards a child. You can rule a child like a tyrant like a dictator. You better listen to me. Does God rule you like that? Does God rule you like a dictator saying, you better listen to me, otherwise I'll teach you a lesson? Have you ever heard God speak to you like that? I'd run away from such a God. We are to represent God to our children. And we must not speak to our children in any way God doesn't speak to us. And God rebukes us, sure. If you haven't heard a word of rebuke from God, you haven't heard Him at all. I hear rebukes from God constantly. So it's perfectly right to discipline and correct and rebuke our children, but not as a tyrant or a dictator, but as a loving father would do. But the way we speak to our children can stumble them. And also, but more than that, the way they see you talking to your wife, or you as a wife talking to your husband, they watch that. They see something and they can stumble over that. When they're 1 year old, they don't understand. Maybe even when they're 2 years old, they understand. But by the time they're 3 years old, they begin to understand. They begin to understand the tone of your voice. And if you cause a child to stumble, Jesus said, it is better to take a heavy millstone, verse 6, and hang it around your neck and go and be drowned in the depth of the sea. He didn't say a millstone. Please notice, Jesus is very careful. You know what a millstone is? These are heavy stone things in which they grind. And he said, make sure it's a really heavy one. Don't take one of these light ones because you may come up to the surface. Make sure it's a heavy one that you'll never come up to the surface when you go into the sea. Can you imagine the meek and gentle Jesus speaking like this? See, many people have a one-sided picture of Jesus that he was always so gentle and gracious. He told a woman caught in adultery, I don't condemn you. The Samaritan woman who was divorced 5 times comforted her, and he comforted sick people and touched the lepers. That's one very important side of Jesus. But that's like cutting a body in half. You've seen one half. But what about the other half? This is the other half, where he said, if you offend a little child, you better look for the heaviest millstone you can find, tie it around your neck, strong enough so it doesn't drop out, and find a sea where you can jump and go in. What is that called? Committing what? Suicide. Did Jesus ever ask people to commit suicide? I know he told people to pluck out the eye, that's not suicide. Cut off the hand, that's not suicide. But did he ever tell people to commit suicide? You know, Jesus can't possibly say that. Please read carefully. Suicide is a terrible thing. Nobody must ever do it. It's like murdering. It's like murdering yourself. And Jesus didn't actually say you must cut off your hand or pull out the eye. What he meant was, it's better to lose your eye than to lust. That's what he said. It's better to lose your hand than to commit sexual sin with your hand. And he's saying it's better to commit suicide, which is the worst possible thing, than to stumble a little child by your actions. If you take that seriously, if you see how serious suicide is, and then see that Jesus took that worst possible thing you can do, to murder yourself, and then say, that's better than stumbling a little child. If you took that seriously, you'd be very, very careful about the way you live in your home. You'd be very, very careful about the example you set in your home and how you behave, how you talk, and how your children see you handle money, or how they see you speak about other people at the dining table, about other people who are not with you. Ask yourself whether you take these verses seriously. It's good to remember these things when we dedicate a little child. That is not just a question of praying for the child and that's it. No. This child is going to grow up in a home, and the parents have to make sure that they don't stumble it. And all of us who have children, it's a good time to think about that at this time.